And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison, and yes, we're always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be joining you today. And if you're just now tuning in, I've been a real estate investor since 2011. I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, although I don't limit my investments just to Texas. There's plenty of great markets outside of Texas. Texas is a great market. But one of the beauties of real estate is we can choose where and when we invest, and been taking advantage of some of those great places outside of Texas. But if this is your first time, I'll share personal real estate investing anecdotes, experiences, knowledge, information I've learned along the way. Occasionally, I'll interview fellow successful real estate investors. And like I said, I started investing in 2011. And I was on my own. I didn't have a roadmap. I didn't have a rule book. And what I was doing, I was struggling because I was on my own. And I realized I needed to get an effective real estate investing education. So I joined Lifestyles Unlimited in 2013 and really learned how to properly invest in real estate and absolutely just changed the game for me. So Lifestyles Unlimited, real estate mentoring education group. We've been in business over 30 years. Check us out at our website, lifestylesunlimited.com. A couple of weeks back, I did a show with some first-time lead investors, Chris and Blake. And if you missed that show, you can find it on the website or the podcast. Subscribe. It's free to subscribe. It's a Monday date show. So if you're looking for it, just enter the date and you'll find it there. But today's show is going to be a play on the subject of that show. And it's really about persevering as an investor. And listening to them, I realized I needed to talk about where we are in today's market. Now, perseverance, that's the continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, opposition. It's really the action or condition of steadfastness. And Chris and Blake had quite the tough ride, putting it mildly, finding the proper and the right property to purchase as first-time lead investors. Now, let me explain that. A lot of people out there, they get the idea, hey, I'm going to invest in real estate, and they think that pretty much any property will work. And that's the ineffective real estate investor. They see real estate as a buy and hold, right? And they're conditioned to that because the stock market, for the most part, is a buy and hold, right? They tell you for 40 years, invest in the stock market, you'll be rich when you're old, and then you can live the life of your dreams. Doesn't always work out that way. But they apply those metrics that they've been conditioned to their whole life. And they think, oh yeah, just real estate, we'll buy it, we'll hold it. And they're only making money one way. When you're educated, there's so many other ways to make money in real estate. Maybe buy and hold is the right play, but what about cash flow? What about equity capture? What about the tax advantages? I wasn't even understanding how powerful the tax advantages were before I became educated by Lifestyles Unlimited. And allow me to share a quick story just to kind of highlight today's subject. In fact, this morning, I was just talking to a good friend of mine. He's been a real estate investor for at least four decades that I know of. He and his wife own three apartment complexes, rather large apartment complexes, but he also owns a bunch of single family rentals. And we were talking about this subject of the last 2 years, some of the challenges, which I'll go into later in the show. I'll hit each of those challenges and do a deep dive on those. So stick with me. But we were talking, he's been through three of these, he called them doldrums, so to speak, right? Real estate's great the whole time. You just have to adapt. But he is talking from, basically, he had some property, some duplexes. I think it was two or three of them. They were all next to one another in one area, and purchased them in 2008 for $86,000 each. Now, by the end of 2010, the value of those duplexes had dropped, and he said it was somewhere around $36,000 each. And so there's an alarm bell, right? That's about a $50,000 drop in value. Now, they were leased. He held on to them. He was still making the cash flow. He didn't have to sell, but he always keeps cash reserves. That's the lesson on hand. He has cash reserves. Now, the value of those duplexes, he still owns them today. The value of those duplexes is right around $300,000 a piece. So if you look at it in that short timeline, that small cycle from 2008 to, say, 2011, about a 60% drop in value, he held on to them. He didn't have to sell. He has cash reserves to carry him through these doldrums, as he called it. But looking back in the last 10 years, it's about 1,000% gain on value. Imagine if he had just thrown in the towel and said, "It's the end of the world," and sold and taken that loss. No, he held on. He rode through it. And as such, he's made 1,000+% gain just in the value. That doesn't count the cash flow, the tax advantages on these properties. So there's a lesson on riding out these times. I want you to understand that real estate is the most resilient asset class you can invest in, period. That's why we love real estate as investors. We can actually put our money into an investment where all the rules are written in the favor of the little guy. They're all to our advantage. We can actually put our money into an investment where the bank will say, "Hey, that's a great investment. I'll loan you, I don't know, 70%, if not more, toward that investment. Go ahead and buy it." Leverage, my friends, right? So we can put a small portion of our money in the deal. The bank says, "Hey, looks good to me. We'll pick up the other side." Yet we get 100% of all the benefits of that investment. You can't do that with a stock. Imagine you say, "Hey, I want to buy $100,000 of, I don't know, let's pick a stock, Tesla," right? Everyone knows what Tesla is. And I'm not advising to go buy Tesla stock. But let's say you want to buy $100,000 of Tesla stock, but you only want to put $20,000 or $30,000 into that stock. You're not going to get it. They're going to say no. Are you going to get all the profits of the $100,000 value, even though you're only in for $20,000 or $30,000? No. That's impossible. If you want $100,000 of Tesla stock, guess what? You're going to pay $100,000. It doesn't work that way in real estate. You see, even the banks understand that if done properly, in the proper purchase price compared to actual value, not the value dictated by the seller, but the value determined by a third party. If it's a single family property, that's an appraiser, historic values of local geography, right? As in a neighborhood, real estate's local. And if it's a multifamily property, those values are dictated by rate caps and the net operating income, right? So the bank is going to look at this and they know if it's purchased properly, they're going to jump in, right? They're happy to lend you the money. Yes, even banks understand real estate is the most resilient asset class in the world. Now, markets fluctuate. They evolve. And as such, as investors, we have to change and adapt and evolve. And that's really where the Lifestyles Unlimited community comes in for me, right? We're a tight group. We're a networking group. There's thousands of us all across the United States, but just in my local area, there's hundreds of us. We're all like-minded investors. We can all call each other. We can all text each other, email one another if we have a question, but we're able to overcome. We're able to find the best vendors. We're able to dig in and find people that insure our properties as investors, right? They look at us as investors, not just any person offering insurance, on and on and on. For every professional that we have to deal with owning these properties, we're able to leverage each other's knowledge and best practices and use those. Now, looking back from 2012 to 2020, to say the least, it was a fantastic time to buy real estate, to invest in real estate. Even poor operators did well during that time, right? Warren Buffett, a rising tide, lifts all boats. But then he says, when the tide goes out, you see who's swimming naked. Well, the tide never went out from 2012 to 2020. All the metrics really up to about 2022, all the metrics were in favor of the real estate buyer. Interest rates, historically low. Cap rates were still very high, and they crept up beginning in 2012. They were high at the end, but they started creeping up in 2012 through 2021. But it was very rare for an investor to lose money. And yeah, I lost money on one deal during that time. One deal out of dozens, and it's because it was a poor operator. I didn't do my homework enough. I didn't vet the investment enough. So I lost once. So knock on wood, my record as investor is very good, but it's very good because I have an effective education and I can thank Lifestyles Unlimited for that. But where I want to go for the remainder of the show is just kind of how things evolved from 2020 to 2024, some of these challenges, and how we're adapting and overcoming these challenges and persevering as a real estate investor.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Life is challenging and ever-changing. Take control with passive income through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Del Walmsley and Lifestyles Unlimited's investors and mentors show you. Meet Del's team and get educated now at Lifestyles Unlimited. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Harrison, talking about persevering as a real estate investor. It's really a lifelong commitment for me, building and maintaining that cash flow snowball and just growing it each and every year. Obviously, some years are better than others, but all years are good when done properly. From 2012 to 2020, let's say, somewhere in there, maybe even up until about 2021, real estate investing was easy for the most part because all the metrics market-wise were very favorable to real estate investors. From 2020 to 2024, that's when the world started to change, right? COVID hit in 2020. Although 2020 was fantastic, we didn't think it was going to be. When we look back at the end of the year, we're like, wow, what a great year. 2021 was an excellent year. I made a ton of money during those 2 years based on investments purchased prior. Now, I just had a property sell literally within the last 2 months that I invested in 2021. And we got a 76% return, right? Just under 3 years, 76% return. That's an annualized all-in return of greater than 25% per year. How great is that? 2021 was a great time to sell, okay? We didn't know that the changes were coming as drastically as they came. We can smell some change in the air. But 2021, selling real estate was a frenzy, okay? Absolute frenzy. Apartments were valued at their highest points. Rental properties, single-family properties. I sold, I believe, two in 2021, but there's one I'm thinking of. We put it on the market in just a couple of days. I had a multitude of offers, and many of those offers were greater than what I was selling the property for. It was not normal. It was incredible, but it was not normal, and I knew that. Okay, so it was a feeding frenzy in 2021. It was a lot of pent-up demand based on COVID, really. People were locked down. They had money to invest, and that's what caused that. Early 2022 was much of the same, but as the year went on, the markets began to shift. The government overspending and the money printing was beginning to catch up. And two things occurred in 2022, and we're still dealing with them today. Inflation, right? We have too much money chasing too few goods. That's inflation. And as such, you get inflation, you're going to get interest rate increases. the Fed increases rates, right? The way the Fed slows down the inflation, right? Cost of goods are going up, 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 is to make money more expensive. And you make money more expensive by rate hikes, interest rate hikes. In a nutshell, an interest rate hike causes businesses to close and people to lose jobs. That's what happens. It's harsh, but true. What happens if you lose your job? You don't spend money. And the theory is if enough people aren't spending money, the costs are going to come down. That's the theory. That's why you watch the news, and when they're talking about, will rates go up? Will the Fed cut rates? Or will they stay the same? They're going to immediately start talking about job starts and unemployment. Now, personally, I think the information that the Fed gets on both of those items has been literally politicized and destroyed. It's not good information. It's garbage in and garbage out. And I don't want to do a deep dive, but the tracking of unemployment's flawed. Many people never claim unemployment, or they just become self-employed. So that alone skews it. In regard to job starts, they're not looking at there's good jobs and there's okay jobs, right? Let's understand that. And a lot of people are taking a second or a third job because they have to, because they're struggling to get by to make ends meet. And the Fed's not looking at that. They're just saying, oh, it's a job start. But look, what I think and what's reality doesn't matter, okay? I have to adapt to the cards that I'm dealt, reality. So as such, today we're in a time of high interest rates. We're in a time of high inflation. And both of these are challenges, but they can be used to the advantage of the smart investor. Did we stop investing from 2022 to 2024? No, I never stopped. My fellow investors continue to invest. They never stopped. We're just adapting to the conditions the best we can, right? We know real estate is the most resilient asset class in the world. Remember my friend that went through that tough time, and he's one of thousands of real estate investors that were there. He had cash reserves. He held on, and today he's looking at 1,000% gain, at least from that point. I don't even know what his returns were on the cash flow, but it's greater than 1,000% gain. So 2022 to 2024 has been trying for us as real estate investors, but only when we compare it to the previous 10 years. And I want to talk about some of the challenges, but I want you to understand also, I never stopped investing in real estate. Okay. I understand it's the best investment and wealth building vehicle on the planet. If you're providing a clean, functional place to live, you're investing in an asset that is desirable. What do we not have enough of out there? Housing, right? There's a housing shortage. We're getting the cash flow. We're getting appreciation on the investments. We're using leverage from the bank each and every month. Equity capture. If you don't know what that is, we're here to teach it to you. You don't go buy the best looking, perfectly finished property. You buy the dog property, the one that's beat up. Based on the analysis, when you fix it up, you're going to make an equity capture. So buy the broken property, repair the property, then the property is worth more. It's not free money because you have put effort in there, but it feels like free money when you're done. You mean I bought the property for this and now it's worth this? That's nice. That's why we buy the ugly or the rundown house, whatever you want to call it. But we fix the asset, we make it better, voila, the property is worth more. And that standard works in all forms of assets. That's not just in real estate. You go buy a poorly run business and you fix it, a business that's not doing well, and you improve it and grow sales and cut expenses and market that business. Guess what? That business is worth more. People do it with classic automobiles all the time. You buy an old, let's say, 66 Chevelle and fix it up, and it's going to be worth more. You even see it in the diamond business, right? That's where you hear the term diamond in the rough. The diamond in the rough is going to sell for less than the finished diamond. That same principle works in real estate. Tax advantages, all in our favor, has nothing to do with the additional challenges of the market. You see, all of the advantages are in our favor. None of the advantages disappeared during the last couple of years. We just had some additional challenges, okay? So the market may be tougher than in the past, but the advantages are still there. Challenge one that we're experiencing is finding the properties has gotten a little tougher, okay? And if I mentioned it earlier in the first segment, if you missed it, or my show a few weeks back, where I interview those first-time leads, Chris and Blake, we discuss it at length. But whether it's been apartments or single-family rentals, the search has been tougher because of our analysis. We're not just buying any property. Why has it gotten harder? Well, I'll take single-family houses first. As real estate rates went up, there were fewer sellers. People are sitting on sub 3% interest rates. They're not keen to go sell that unless they have to, so that they can go buy a home for a 6 or a 7% interest rate. It doesn't make any sense. We're at a 40-year low on inventory, homes for sale that's out there. Less inventory, it's simple. It's economics 101. Now let's talk about apartments for a minute. We invest in Class B and Class C multifamily properties. If you don't know what that is, a Class A is a brand new property, right? The one they're building right next to the highway, the new exit on the highway, high end. It's going to rent for $2,500 to $4,000 a month, depending on where it is, maybe more than that. My daughter's transferring to New York City with her job, and I about fell out of my chair when I saw her rent. But she has a good job, and she's planned it out well, and she'll be just fine. But a Class A is a brand new apartment. A Class B is, let's say, something that's been built within the last 20 years. A Class C is probably anywhere from 1950 to, and there's a lot of metrics. I'm just trying to give you a simple 40,000-foot flyover. But basically, we're buying workforce housing, okay? You know what's not being built? Class B and Class C properties. Every year, there will be fewer of them just by attrition. They will go away. People tear them down. They build new stuff, right? It's the evolution of society. So there are less and less Class B and Class C properties. Makes it a little tougher to find it. And there are some owners of these multifamily properties that are in trouble because they have bridge loans and they're having to sell. I'm seeing these come across now. So I feel like we're getting into a more optimistic time period, a better time period than, say, where we've been for the last 18 months. Another challenge we're experiencing is increased cost associated with ownership. And there's a lot in this category. I'll hit a few of them, but they're all associated with inflation. First of all, labor is up, right? It costs more money to get somebody to do something on your property, right? Just labor costs are up. What is a single family rental home? It is assembly of commodities, and labor is a commodity. But the other commodities, the sticks, the bricks, the copper, the shingles, the countertops, the sheetrock, the paint, all of that is more expensive now, okay? So single family and multifamily properties are really nothing more than an assembly of commodities. If the commodities go up, the cost of ownership goes up. The cost of payroll has gone up. Property taxes have gone up. Insurance has gone up. Guess what happens if my cost to own a property are up? I have two choices. I can eat it, hence reducing my cash flow, reducing my net operating income, and reducing the value of my property. Or, ding, ding, Alex, for $1,000, I'm going to pass the rent cost, the extra cost in the rents to the tenants. I have to do that. It's A, reduce the value of my property, or B, pass the cost on in the form of raised rent, right? The rent keeps going up. I love it when the liberal media goes on, and they just drag about how rents are too high, the cost of living's too high, yet these geniuses don't finish the flow chart of why rents are going up. It's because the cost of everything else has gone up. The owner literally has no other choice but to pass it on. It's a binary choice. Eat it and die, or pass it on. And another thought on why owners just can't absorb the additional cost, especially if there's a loan on the property, the bank loaned on that property based on a predetermined value, based on a net operating income, okay? If there's a loan on the property and there's a reduction in net operating income, that's going to sound all kinds of alarms with the lender, right? The bank is going to say, holy cow, what's going on. The value of this property is going down. Yes, I understand, Mr. and Mrs. Owner, your cost associated with owning it have gone up, but you can't eat it, right? You got to keep that NOI where it was, or you got to grow it per your pro forma. And so owners have no choice but to pass it on. Rents are going up, which creates a whole nother issue. Challenge number three, decreased occupancy rates. And I'm going to speak on real estate as a whole nationally. Real estate release local. Some areas we're doing very well in. That's why we always stress buying a good economic area that is growing, where jobs are growing. But national occupancy is trending down. Now, I know I said earlier that rental real estate is in demand. Yes, I did say that. There's not enough housing. But if people can't afford to get by because of the cost of living has gone up, they're going to change their habits. People are moving home. They're moving in with others, right? Roommates are taking on. More roommates are coming in. I was reading an article just last week. One of the fastest growing trends in real estate is older people who historically have lived on their own are taking on roommates, right? They're teaming up with others and they're renting property out, right? Two or three of them are moving into the same house. It's one of the fastest growing trends right now in real estate. Millennials who moved out during COVID because they wanted to be alone, they were sick of being shacked in with a roommate and they went and got their own place. Guess what? Now they're going back to the roommate equation. Even long-term homeowners are renting out spare rooms because people need the income. Yes, the economy is tough out there and our renters are feeling it. So rental occupancy is down. New construction's down. Businesses are closing. People are taking on second jobs. Credit card debt is at a high. Yes, the economy is struggling. And as such, occupancy has trended down. Another challenge we've dealt with is the lending metrics have changed. In 2021, you can go to a bank and you can purchase a multifamily property and you can get 80% leverage. Now, I'm not saying that's a good idea, but I just want to make a point that that was just a couple of years ago. That wasn't, you know, decade ago. That was just a couple of years ago. Today, that same multifamily property, that same bank may only loan you 60% loan to value. The banks are risk averse. And of such, they've changed their lending practices, okay? A good baseline, if the bank will give you 70% on that property, that's a good sign, right? You want another set of eyes on that. If the bank is going to loan you less than 70%, the bank is seeing risk. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying they're seeing a little bit of risk. Understand what you're doing and understand what that risk is. And that risk may be the borrower. It may be the asset, it may be the loan structure. There's a lot of reasons, but the bottom line here is banks are more cautious, and that affects us as investors in several ways. If we have less leverage on a property, that's reduced cash flow, right? It means we have a bigger principal to pay, and reduced debt may equal reduced returns, right? Think about this. If I'm in a property and I'm only 10 or 20% out of pocket, then doubling my investment is much easier than if I'm in it for 40%, right? Let me give you an example. I buy a house for $100,000, but I'm only out of pocket $20,000. If I grow the value of that house to $120,000, I made 100% return because I only have $20,000 in there. Now take that same property and the bank says, I'll only loan you 60%. Then I have to come out of pocket $40,000. So to get that same 100% return, I need to grow the value of that property to $140,000. Do you see what I'm saying? To make that 100%. So when the banks tighten up and they reduce how much they will loan on a property, it has the potential to affect your overall returns as a percentage of your investment. So that's something that we're dealing with now. Is that always going to be there? I doubt it. Things always change. The best advice I can give you is building a cash flow snowball takes time. Get educated, stay educated, do your analysis, keep investing, keep buying assets. We never stopped. Keep buying streams of income. Remember, when I was buying in 2015 to 2017, all the so-called experts were screeching about a real estate crash. They were saying the houses were too expensive. The crash never came. It's not going to crash. We just need to understand the challenges and adapt and know that there will be sunny days on the other side. But we'll continue to build and we'll continue to grow. And along the way, we'll always remember it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at LifestylesUnlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.